Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Thanks for tuning in for this Monday's mentoring session. Today's entrepreneur, and I define entrepreneur as a person who's taking financial and personal risks to generate a livelihood and trying to make a difference in the world. So today's guest is a graphic designer. She's a fine artist. She's my neighbor. Welcome, Jennifer Nelson.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'm so glad that you're here today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for asking.
All right. So I've had two experiences this week in preparing for this interview to facilitate part of our mentoring conversation on creativity and art and expression as you continue to expand your life work. And so one of the things came in the form of the Oprah Winfrey magazine, the O magazine, mm-hmm. for the March issue. Mm-hmm. It's I always turn the magazine to like the last page where she writes what she knows for sure. And this what really sparked my thinking. And so if you're okay, I'd just like to read to our listeners what Oprah wrote. And then we can discuss it when we're done.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. So it was a monumental purging, letting go of all things Harpo, the studio I built in 1990, 3.5 years after the Oprah Winfrey show went national. I had taken ownership of the show so I could be my own boss and have my own space separate from my original bosses at WLS-TV in Chicago. I bought the building, and the enterprise evolved into something more. One of the producers, Tara Montgomery, who's been with me for more than 20 years, described it as a joy-fueled rocket ride to the upper stratosphere and down deep into the bloodstream and marrow of America. Every day, every show was created with the intention of serving our audience. And I believe that every person who was built, who was part of the Harpo team, would tell you it was an honor to serve. It was a massive effort to take it all apart, from my wardrobe to the cameras to the 200,000 videotapes in boxes, my life in boxes. The tapes represented the days of our lives, the countless hours spent booking, crafting, organizing, editing, and presenting stories that changed the way people saw themselves. Tipper Gore on depression, mom makeovers, Garth Brooks in Texas, when your vanity is challenged. Multiple tapes for every day we worked for more than 25 years. After all the master tapes were digitized, deciding what to keep or destroy was crazy-making. The process is ongoing for the millions of pictures that Harpo photographer George Burns took of me over the years. What to hold on to, what to let go. As we were talking and walking through a hallway of boxes for the last time, Gail said, "Don't you feel sad?" "No," I told her. "I feel such great pride. I'm proud of every person who gave their time, energy, and passion to the place we called Harpo. We transformed a television production company into a major influence in our culture. The building was sold 2 years ago and will soon be torn down. But the legacy isn't the building. It's not the bricks and wires and electronics. It's the work. It's the people who gave diligently from their hearts every day. It's every life that was touched by what we put out into the world. It's the lessons learned, the joys we shared, the challenges we overcame, and the chance we had and took to use television as a force for good. All of that I know for sure will be the legacy of Harpo."
It's good stuff.
It's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the people behind the business.
Yep.
It's the people running the business. It's the leaders that are organizing the energy, the inspiration. Mm-hmm. They're harnessing it in a way that they're putting out into the world, taking risks to put themselves on the line to do something that they feel is important.
Yep. And it's like the mortar between the bricks or the space between the lines, you know.
Yeah.
In anything that you might write, there's a spirit of the thing as well.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah. So Oprah has been a mentor from afar for me.
Yep. Yeah. For a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So enough about Oprah.
Hard act to follow, I might add.
Yeah. Well, I'm not meaning to put it out there to kind of, you know, it's not about any comparison or anything.
Yeah.
And then today I was at the Minnesota Middle Level Honors Orchestra. So my daughter, you know, mm-hmm, Olivia mm-hmm. Foley, who's 14, middle school students from 7th, 8th, and 9th grade had put together a tape where they had performed all the same music. And then they had a group of judges that listened to all these kids' tapes that they had recorded
mm-hmm.
and picked enough kids to be part of this big orchestra that played earlier today at the convention center.
Oh, so none of the kids knew each other, but they all came together if they were chosen to
yeah,
play together.
Throughout the state of Minnesota.
Wow, cool.
And the conductor was Brad Lambrecht, and he's the director of orchestras for the Alexandria Area High School, and he's also the founder and conductor of the Central Lakes Symphony Orchestra. And he gave this really powerful introduction to the kids coming together because they had spent 10 hours at Northwestern College yesterday. So they all got six pieces of music, but they narrowed it down to five mm-hmm. that they did. So they worked. So all the kids had all the music, those who were chosen. They had all the music that they practiced at home. Then they all came together for 10 hours. And they worked together, and they collaborated, and they created the most beautiful concert for this age group that I've heard ever. And Brad Lambrecht, the conductor, most effervescent soul you could ever imagine. He was mm-hmm. really fun to watch conducting from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he turned around and shared the inspiration, he said, you know, music is great for the brain. You know, it's great for reading scores. It's great for mathematics, thinking and putting numbers together. But he said that's all great. But what's behind it is what music does for the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids come together and they collaborate. And they're thinking outside of the box. And they're inspiring each other to really do something, create some music together that they shared with all of us who were sitting in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, they created a CD that we could purchase if we wanted to. Just remarkable work. But when I think of entrepreneurship, that's what I think of. I think of people coming together to do something very inspiring, to put it out in the world where people really want to have a piece of it
yeah.
and share of it.
Yeah, and music is a beautiful thing. I think about some of what I do just in my work. I wouldn't say it was necessarily as lofty as a beautiful concert of music, but there's a real satisfaction in a job well done.
Yeah.
And there's always collaboration. There's good collaborations, and there's ones that maybe, you know, somewhat painful and take something to get through it. Or in my world of graphic design, there might be one, two, three revisions that start to, you know, where you feel like you might be getting further from the end goal than
yeah.
you are getting closer, you know. And so it can be good both ways, because either way, you're bouncing off another human being or human beings, and you have the same goal, and that's to come up with a beautiful ad or a cereal box back or, you know, just
a montage
a brochure
or something for the website or.
Yep.
other. So do you work with print media and?
I used to work with print media. Now I'm fairly exclusively online. And I love that world of producing, you know, just all the formats that you produce graphics in, you know, JPEGs and PNGs and TIFFs and this and that for all these different reasons. But it's still way less pressure than there was in the world of printing.
Yeah.
Where if something got missed and there was a mistake in something that got printed, it got printed 10,000 times, 100,000 times, and it's like, oops.
Oh, right.
You know, and so I really like the world of online because if you find a mistake or whatever, you can just go, okay, I'll just create another, fix that and make another JPEG. So I like the world of creating graphics for websites and so on.
Absolutely. Well, let's bring this closer in.
Okay.
So the audience knows that every person that I interview goes through the Self-Awareness Mentoring Journal to help us have a really authentic conversation, and that comes from the place of really being grounded and kind of connecting with yourself more internally. And it also helps us having a free-flowing conversation that's kind of feeling-oriented, along with some other nuggets that come out of the conversation. But I really enjoy that aspect of talking with people. I just feel it connects us in a deeper way. And that's what mentoring is about. And hopefully, as we get toward the end of the conversation, there's some real, we feel like, you know, better or different as a result of having this conversation today.
You bet. Because when you're on and you're doing your business with somebody or a client or so on, there could be all kinds of things going on behind the scenes or in your life.
Yeah.
But either way, I think mostly that's not something you're going to share with them. So you sort of have to be on regardless of what might be going on in your life, you know?
Yeah, sometimes absolutely.
Sometimes work is a distraction from all that, and sometimes it's just something you keep to yourself, and then you replace it with other feelings just by the, like you said, the collaboration of the work can take you into a better place if things are bad, or if things are good, then it flows more easily.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that makes sense, a lot of sense. So when people fill out the mentoring journal, just like we were talking about before we got on the mic, that the feelings that we experience aren't just focused on one element of our life. They're focused on our whole life because we're a whole human being. And if we're kind of, so our conversation is about both your whole life, you know, what's going on. You feel comfortable with sharing, you know, with other people that what's going on in your life in general and what specifically is going on in your business. So how are you feeling?
Well, I'm looking at this page of words for feelings here, and there's a whole range here of positive to, I guess, what we'd consider negative. And I circled a few things in the inner peace camp. I circled generosity of spirit, observant, realistic, and optimistic. Realistic and optimistic is a nice combination, I thought, because there are times in the more negative camp of being uncomfortable and challenged, and that's dealing with reality. But I am often optimistic about things getting better, and I'm sure you've heard more than once what a hard time people have had in their businesses from 2009 till now, and things have been looking up for a while for me and my business. And so that just, I mean, it keeps you optimistic, but there's a optimism that's present regardless.
So how have you survived through 2009 and recovering from the downturn in the economy?
Well, how
did your
have
work
I survived?
Change?
It didn't change so much as it just got less and less. And so I worked much harder to get more and more of it. In my career, I think I've experienced a lot of the work just came. I guess I called it for a long time my career angel, and then I feel like my career angel left me for a while.
Okay. Took a little
but
break.
Work always occurred, and if I were to think of a more worldly or earthly explanation for it, I would say that one of the ways I've approached my business has just been to do good work for every client that I've had. Yeah. You know, and if we have a good energy or if we have a good product together or whatever, they're going to probably spread the word. And that just occurred like that for a long time. So, for example, in my business where I did a lot of freelancing at General Mills, I ended up coming in-house for a woman who was having a baby. And once I learned all that paperwork, yeah. I was sort of in, because that's a no small feat to kind of get through some of all that process that
to
there
get
are
in their system.
In corporations. Mm-hmm. Well, just to get through some of the paperwork and all the checks and balances that they have for basically, you know, bringing a design piece to fruition.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay, not as you as a person filling out all the paperwork to get into the company to do the work.
Yes, no, none of that, but more like the creative process of you know, marketing, wanting a design for something, bringing it down to the art and design department to execute on it.
Oh, I
and
see.
So there were just a lot of corporate things that you had to kind of go, hoops that you had to go through to get that job done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Forms to fill out and so on. And just, you know, just all that stuff that is present in corporations, filling out your timesheet appropriately and this and that and the other thing. But anyway, the point is, once I learned all of that, there was sort of a learning curve where once I knew that and they knew I knew that, I was invited to come in many times. And so I was there for about 12 years as a freelancer, never with any desire to come in-house, really. I loved being a freelancer.
Yeah.
So.
And then how did you make that transition out of General Mills and get more work?
Oh, sorry, I should step back a little bit. I was always a freelancer at General Mills. If we're going back to like my first job, I was in a small design firm not too far from here.
Yeah.
That company was growing for a while up to, I think, 12 people.
Yeah.
But we worked with some big clients, including General Mills.
I see.
And so when they had to downsize and I got laid off, I thought to myself, do I want to get another job and start pulling my resume together to work for another company, or do I just want to go look for more of the work that I love? And so when I chose to be a freelancer. So that's how I ended up becoming a freelancer at General Mills. And it started by filling in for somebody
I see.
Who was going on maternity leave. So I grew from there, I guess.
I see. Excellent. So let's bring it back in now mm-hmm. that we've gone out and we've realized kind of how you made it through some really tough sparse works as the work became less, how you kind of found your way through that to continue to do your art and also generate an income so that you could keep doing the work that you love.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I did is, because the work that I was doing was a lot of consumer research drawing for Fortune 500 companies, but through an ideation firm who got those clients, and then I would draw for them. So as we were generating 500 to 1,000 ideas per day with clients, I was drawing probably 30 to 50 drawings in a day.
Oh my gosh.
To just share visually what everyone else was sharing verbally. And so that was the great work, and that was that impacted, you know, the economy impacted them to where when that work got less and less, then I was doing less and less of that work. So I had to look for ways to, that's actually when it came up for me to do some more design work for my partner Kim with her business, to create a lot of the graphics and what we call call to action buttons, which a lot of people have on their websites, which is kind of like buy now or take this class from us
or
donate now or whatever. And so a lot of it came in the form of you know, CTA buttons, headers for websites, sometimes obviously a logo, or just a look and a feel for a website, you know, based on choosing a template for a website, choosing colors, choosing fonts, and all that good graphic design stuff, and found that I loved it.
Mm.
And so I grew that, you know, slowly, and then I started pursuing work with some of the other corporations that I had worked with. So I ended up doing some work for them directly and not through the ideation firm, because a lot of corporations have brought their ideations in-house and okay. innovation and product innovation they do internally now. So,
yeah. So it's constantly changing and shifting and growing with how companies are moving work inside and outside of the company.
Yep.
So tell us how else you feel.
Well, uncomfortable and challenged has been a theme, from 2009 on. But I'm happy to say that I'm again back to realistic and optimistic. And I can get optimistic when when I get one new opportunity, I actually get very excited and optimistic again. And I actually think about, for example, I just got a call from a person I worked with recently on a Skippy project. She was a facilitator for these ideations, and we exchanged cards, and I heard from her. Turns out she wants an infographic, which that term kind of makes me laugh a little bit, because infographics is the new term for basically graphics that depict, a challenge or a problem, or it can depict global warming in a way, very visually, very sophisticated, sort of intimate, integrated facts and statistics, and they're all kind of, integrated in a way that it's a full, fully integrated, visual depiction of something. Anyway, why that makes me laugh is because I feel like that's what I've been doing throughout my career, but now it's called an infographic.
There's a new name for it.
Right, and yeah. Your listeners probably know what that is, and they've probably seen a lot of them. But this client called me to do one of those for her, and I just dug in, and instead of thinking about it as sort of a one-off project with her, I thought about, I want to make this graphic just sing, and I want to have it visually just very exciting to look at, and yet communication that they need, to say what's in front of them from the research that they learned. So in creating that, I am not thinking about the one-off. I think about creating the graphics and putting them in a library. And some are reusable and some are very specific to that client. But every time I design something new, like an infographic, I realize how universal that could be. So you can start taking pieces and parts from all these elements that you've created, create a library, and pull from your library after a while to create still unique and custom graphics for whatever client might come along.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was speaking to the optimism. I'd get newly excited when I think about what new product could I offer.
Yeah.
So besides doing this consumer research drawing that I did in the past, which was just what they call wristing, which is pen on paper.
Okay.
That's what I used to do back in the day. And I actually still will work with a Sharpie on 8.5 by 11 paper, and I'll put them up on the wall when I'm in these consumer research ideations. But then if I do overnight drawing, sometimes it's the computer renderings too. So ground up computer rendering for these companies for their extended research, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what kind of graphics do you use now, software?
Software is the Creative Suite. So it's Photoshop and InDesign and Illustrator. And because I draw mostly, I really heavily favor Illustrator. But, of course, there's all kinds of things you can do in Photoshop, too, to, enhance your graphics, or just to cut them, as they say, cut graphics, so they can be pieced together in somebody's website or whatever.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that field has shifted and changed and yet still comes back to having the ideas coming to you and also being able to express them in a way that the client can see them and figure out how they want to use them.
Yeah, it's been fun to see it evolve. And to your point, it really has changed a lot. I think about when I went to college and it was called commercial art. Well, nobody calls it commercial art anymore. And when I graduated from college, they were going to get their first Macintosh computer the following year.
Yeah.
And so when I got my job 2 years out of college, my first professional job, even though we were a small design firm, You know, the owner invested a lot of money into the Mac system, you know, and so sure. I learned everything I would learn on my own and on the job.
Yeah.
And so that was great. In fact, Illustrator was the first program I learned, and it's still the one I just most love today.
Wow. And is it because you understand how it, you know, each version that was created and added on, that you understood all the inner workings of it? Or is it just because it's a spectacular program that even when I look at other illustration programs at this, you still come back to this one?
Well, the design industry was heavily in the Macintosh field anyway. So yeah. Besides it being what I knew, it was what their whole industry used. So it just made sense to stay there.
Yeah.
But it has, you know, grown and evolved, like you said, with every version. And so maybe looking back, those early, you know, versions were fairly clunky compared to today, and yeah. everything that you could wish would happen in the next iteration might happen in the next two iterations.
Yes.
So that is always exciting. And then, of course, because I draw mainly for a living,
yes.
That's just the drawing program. You know, the other ones are to put your drawings into, you know, pieces with multiple pages and combined with text and so on. But if you're just drawing, I draw in Illustrator, which is, you know, vector art. So it's points and lines, and it's what they also call scalable art, which is, you know, points and lines that can be enlarged to any size. So if I draw something that's on my screen, I can scale it up to the size of a billboard with no loss of, you know, clearness or whatever, because it's all based on what they call vectors,
mm-hmm.
as compared with photographs, for example. Those are rasterized images, which means it's sort of reliant on resolution, which is why
right.
if you had a photograph that you've saved too small and then you want it to be much bigger, that's why it starts to pixelize. So
the vector system, do you think, is a easier way to preserve than whatever piece that you create in its image?
It's just the way that I love to create, because I've loved to create logos, which are a lot of times just a flat-based graphic thing.
Yeah.
Of course, people use photographs in their logos as well. But that's just kind of the kind of designer I've evolved to be. I love being an illustrator, and I love working with vector art. And of course, I insert photos into things all the time and stuff, but that's where you have the resolution-based stuff that becomes very important in production to have it look good and print out well.
Yeah. So the optimism, let's bring us back to where we were starting, just to keep the fluidness of our conversation going. Which I can see where a new project coming in, you would want to have the optimistic perspective and be engaged in the project in a way that inspires your curiosity so that you can really get behind the work. How do you work through your emotions? Like when you talk about like your feelings of uncomfortable, you brought it to a former challenging period of time in your work, and then you brought it back to what made you circle that, like today in the moment?
Uncomfortable and challenged?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the big answer to that is, but what I thought of when you asked me about the uncomfortable nature of it, I thought it can be a little uncomfortable when you're working with a new client, even this woman who I was excited to meet.
Yeah.
And she called me to connect and do a project together. There's that uncomfortable nature of how this project's going to go.
I see.
That they're going to respect and value what you do, for
yes.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the conversation will often come around to money, you know, and just a funny little awareness that I've had for a long time is when we first had computers come into being,
yeah.
I think people went from thinking, oh, this takes a lot of time and energy, and art and graphic design is something I don't know and I don't understand. But now that these designers have computers, they should be able to do it yesterday or in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, or they tended to think that it just like magic gets done. But there's just a lot of work that goes into, you know, executing on a nice, you know, computer document that, you know, makes the translation to, you know, print or even just websites or whatever.
So do you feel then that the creative process is really misunderstood?
I think it is. I think it's
and the price maybe that maybe we less put on mis- it?
Yeah, probably misunderstood and also just not understood. Trying to think, there's a lot of things I don't understand either. But I think that electricians, for example, they seem like magic to me because I think they can see through walls. And now, granted, yeah, they know a lot about it that I don't know, where they know that probably the electrical goes behind the wall at a certain height and then it comes down to the electrical socket, et cetera, et cetera. But in my world, it's like wow, you just can make light, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that in coming back to graphic design, I think people don't really understand what it takes for you to produce something. So there's a lot of times where I think you had the question about how do I want to be a leader. Mm-hmm. I used to just do the work and maybe I left it somewhat of a mystery. But now I'm more interested in just trying to teach people a little bit along the way about
the process,
something or other. For example, a JPEG, if you create a JPEG in Photoshop of a piece of art you've done.
Yeah.
If you save it as a JPEG, it's going to have a white background and it's going to be in a white square background. And then if you put it over a color in, say, your PowerPoint presentation, it's going to have a square around it. Well, if you save it as a PNG, it's going to have a transparent background.
Right.
And then you could lay it onto that other color and it'd be a perfectly outlined piece of art on whatever color you want it on, if that makes sense. It's even hard to explain it to you, but sometimes I take the time to explain that to a client so that they can just be more empowered to know when they're asking now and in the future for something. I think those formats that graphic designs are produced in now,
yes,
are confusing to people, and so just a little education along the way so that, yeah, they know what they're asking for is kind of a way that I'm trying to, I guess it wouldn't be a leader, but it's just an informative colleague to help them out and to, you know, just impart, yeah, whatever I know about the industry as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I still go through that with my logo of when to use the JPEG and when to use the PNG. And even though I understand that one has like a black background and one has a white,
yes,
I still don't get it until I see it.
You bet. And that's so true. A lot of people with art, yeah, in general, it's like, I don't know it until I see it.
And then you get it up there on the website and you say, oh, okay, now I see why that logo,
right,
you know, the PNG doesn't work, that the JPEG would work better.
Oh, yes. And there's just so much of that happens in the computer. Even if you, you know, go in and get something that's a piece of vector art from Illustrator,
yeah,
and you try to just copy it and paste it into another program, it's probably going to turn it into a picture, which then is that rasterized image again, and it's probably going to have a background on it where it doesn't actually have it in Illustrator. But that's probably a lot of technical language. Again, I don't like to bog people down with it. I like to share it when it seems like it's going to be helpful to,
sure,
them to learn or just know, you know, so they know what they're asked for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how does, like, I know in working with technology that it always takes really a lot longer than you think it will. And so being patient to learn it, but how does that affect like your graphic design work and how you're able, are you able to charge the client for that time, that extra time that you didn't take when you didn't have to computerize the work? Or are you so proficient in using the equipment that that's where you actually maybe save time?
That is a good question. And I'm thinking about a lot of things about how to answer that. Um, there's so many resources out there today, and images that people could pull from the web, free downloadable vector art, photographs,
right? Yeah,
stock images, all kinds of stuff. So yes, maybe there's a perception that it doesn't take that much time, but there's all that learning that goes into figuring out how to use a service, figuring out how to, you know, sign up for a monthly membership to something that so that you can use images that you want as, you know, clip art and things like that. I think sometimes people don't want to pay what you might think your time is worth, especially since 2009, as, you know, salaries and rates per hour and this and that went down, and especially as we're, of course, in the world economy now, mm-hmm. of people all around the world. There's one website called Fiverr. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's like a person could go to Fiverr.com and they could request a logo for their business, and it's based on $5. I can't work for $5 to create a logo.
Oh my gosh.
And you might get something a little bit cookie cutter, but it's the world economy, so you might have, you know, three people online that want to do this work for you, and you might have to pay them each $5. So now you're invested $15 in your logo, and you might get something you like just fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's so so if somebody wants a customized logo from a graphic designer today, you know, we've had to humble ourselves as far as our rates and our rates per hour. And you've had to be very competitive to do a logo, you know, just even as something as simple as a logo for somebody.
So what do you wish business owners would know when they are picking a graphic designer? Or what would you most like to for them to know about the effort that goes into it, or the process of creativity involved, or what would you like them to make sure that they know before they work with a graphic designer?
Yeah, a graphic designer is such a broad term, and we all have our skills and our preferences and the things we're really good at and the things we're maybe not as good at or whatever. And so I would want them to know enough to ask the right questions of their designer. I would want them to know.
Like, let's say they were a startup business and this is the first time that they're getting a logo or creating one, and trying to figure out what their own creative process is to even know what they want for an image.
Yeah, I would want them to know, or I would want them to make sure that they ask that graphic designer for, you know, some of their samples of their work,
mm-hmm.
And see what their skills include and see what their art sensibility is. Because if they had 10, 15, 20 examples or more of logos they've done and you don't see anything in there you like, maybe it's time to check out the next designer.
Yeah, right.
Or if it's all good but it's not what you were picturing and you wanted maybe a more photo-based logo or something that's more integrated and sophisticated than simple, you would just get a lot, you know, by seeing somebody's, you know, portfolio of images and stuff. And that's what I want them to know about me before we work together, is I want to show them samples of what I do. So it's like, here you can get this kind of work. I do this, and if you're interested in something like that, then, you know, it might take us a while to get there. Or it could come quickly. I don't know. It's just...
it varies a lot.
The creative process, as we all know, I think, is got a lot of variables to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think is the range of pricing? Like you had mentioned that, you know, if you wanted to get quick art pieces that might not be exactly, it might be what you want or not. But so the price on the street is $5.
Fiverr.
Yeah, Fiverr. To what?
Oh, gosh,
like,
I don't know.
If you worked with someone closely... I just think I've always gotten the best design work from the people that I know and have worked with and have a sense of how they work, and we have enough conversations so we feel like I'm clear on describing enough in enough detail of what I'm looking for in a logo or some sort of design that I can articulate it in a way that the graphic designer can get a picture of.
Yeah, well, you're maybe like some clients in many ways where you have a full visual in mind and you sort of want them to work with this kind of imagery or that, but you might be different than a lot of people who have no idea what they want. And so I don't know if this partly answers your question, but one thing I like to do with somebody if they're looking for a logo from me is if they can go on and on and on with adjectives about what they would like, that helps me. For example, an adjective around a logo might be sophisticated, or it might be simple, or it might be whimsy, or it might need to look like it's got an institution quality about it, or something that gives them credibility as being very something to be taken very seriously. You know, so
yes.
So I ask for people to think about
what great way
adjectives.
To do it.
It's turned out that it has been a pretty good way to do it, because then we don't go right to it needs to have a butterfly and a flower in it. You know, we get
right.
to how do you want to be seen by your clients or your customers or whatever. And so we just talk, that's turned out to be a good starting point for me, creating mm-hmm. a logo for somebody.
Yes. Great. I think this is the direction we're going in this conversation is really informative. It gives us a lot of perspective about kind of how you approach the industry, a lot about your experience over the years, which has informed so much of your work. I would like to talk, are there any other feelings that you would like to share with us about how you're feeling right now? Maybe it's shifted a little bit. And then we'll...
Maybe not at the moment that it comes to mind.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do is we're going to continue our conversation for another We Mentor Monday with Nancy.
Great. That'd be just fine.
Yeah. And so I think our listeners have gathered a lot of information today. And I thank you so much for giving us a snippet in our first interview together in our mentoring session. And I think in the second session, we'll go into more depth about your background and how you've grown in the field of graphic art and design.
Excellent. Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next Monday.
Thanks, Nancy.
Bye.